while vague, it could be better defined.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Welcome, Steve.
Hey, hey. Let's tear ourselves away from other matters and talk about screens.
Mm. They make any movies about the America's Cup that I need to watch?
There's that one scene in Christopher Nolan's Tenet where they're off-sailing, foiling ships.
Wow.
And that's the scene that kind of copped the most flack, I think, on release for having unintelligible dialogue because Mr. Nolan goes, you know what? I'm gonna simulate what it sounds like to be on one of these yachts. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got headsets on, and everything sounds like. Cool. And I tell you what, at IMAX volume, that was really annoying.
Stick to Waterworld, then they nailed it there.
Oof,
as far as we should go.
Just one big ad for Durry's Waterworld, isn't
the
it?
The gases.
Is that what they were called? The smokers.
Yeah, there you go.
Smokers.
That's it. That makes more sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it does, but hey.
But the smoking aspect.
Steve, what is the number one sort of water film of all time, aside from Waterworld?
No, we're just, I was going to say product placement movie. Like, what is the most... Like, the Fast and the Furious franchise are pretty strong for product placement.
You're just shifting the goalposts on me. I think, as far as water-based movies go, let's go back to the days of yore and the big spectacle ensemble cast disaster movies and something like the Poseidon Adventure, where big old cruise liner sinks like a stone, and a bunch of passengers have got to get out.
Mm-hmm.
It's melodramatic, it's trashy, and it's fun.
White Squall.
Oh yeah,
fan of that one.
Yeah, could do that. Bit of marooned action. But water schmorter, I thought we'd talk about the Oscars today, which are a decidedly dry event.
There's holes in absolutely everything. It's just, you got to pick a thing.
There's a lot of discussion about a trophy that sits on New Zealand's shores at the moment, but the Academy Awards thought they'd sneak in some nominations news this week. They are being a little bit more proactive with their awards ceremony this year, which plays on Monday afternoon New Zealand time on the 26th of April. They're going to do an actual awards show. They're going to have nominees and awards and people there, but just not full punters and full kind of party scenario. So I think as we've seen these things evolve, like awards by awards, like Golden Globes, Grammys and whatnot, starting to see like just a bit more normality each time, like just a few more people involved, less of a Zoom call.
Are all the celebrities okay? Are they going to be all right?
We can only pray for them. They love that little moment when they get to walk down the thing. We can send them money and envelopes in the mail.
And all the people that take photographs of them, they love that bit as well.
Yeah, I mean, spare a thought for those photographers that tried to kill Britney Spears, you know? Yeah. What are they doing now?
Is there anything on the...
Actually, they're probably all list just out without masks, aren't they?
Anything on the Oscars list that we should watch?
Yeah, well, let's. I'm going to start my... I really should have watched these films, but didn't viewing soon. The David Fincher's movie about the making of Citizen Kane, Mank, led the nominations. That's available to watch on Netflix. That picked up 10 nominations. And then there's a whole pack of films behind that I think the Academy Awards did a much better job this year of kind of summing up broadly what the year in film looked like. A couple of notable omissions, but a whole bunch of films that all had six nominations apiece. The Father, which releases here in a couple of weeks, this stars Sir Anthony Hopkins. He got a nomination for Best Actor, and at the age of 83, he is the oldest person nominated for Best Actor in Oscars history.
Oh.
I saw this film the other day, and it's a great performance. It's pretty grim. He plays an older chap addled with dementia. And it's an adaptation of a stage play. Really see things from his point of view. So like his family members, they change the casting of the actors, so it sort of gets across as like, I don't recognize who you are. The chronology is all kind of jumbled up. It probably wouldn't be a superb film if it wasn't for the great lead performance at its center. But tied with that, Judas and the Black Messiah, which opened in cinemas here last week, which is a telling of the true story of the betrayal of Black Panther's leader Fred Hampton by an FBI informant in the Panthers. Minari, which we talked about a month or two ago, which is the American Dream pick about a Korean immigrant family. That was
Where's
one of those
that,
kind of.
Is that available on Neon?
Minari is still playing in some cinemas. So, okay.
Are you talking about movies that you want to watch that came out this year or that
Yeah, well, this is stuff that there's still a couple that have yet to be released here. Mm. The films that either get held back to either help them get Oscar nominations in the US or held back in New Zealand because, like The Father, now we can talk about this film having a whole bunch of. Interest
awards.
Behind it.
Yeah.
Just helps the chatter of selling a few tickets.
Okay,
New Zealand is obviously still in the ticket selling business. Saw a story in Hollywood Reporter this morning about screenings starting to come back in the US and people being in a cinema with maybe like 26 people total and there was applause at the end of the film just because people were so happy to be at a movie.
The release.
So I think things are starting to turn around there. Just really quickly, the other films that are in that pack of second equal nominations are Nomadland, that's still in cinemas, Promising Young Woman in cinemas as well, and Sound of Metal, great film on Prime Video, about a heavy metal drummer losing his hearing.
That's a good one, yeah.
And The Trial of the Chicago 7, which is on Netflix, and it's a bit chatty. It's an Aaron Sorkin courtroom drama about... a trial of a bunch of protesters and the man being a big old dick.
I thought it was pretty good. I'm always impressed with Sacha Baron Cohen when he just turns it on as an actor.
Yes. He's nominated for his performance in that film, so can see him trot on up to get a trophy.
Cool.
Borat's subsequent movie film is now an Oscar nominated film, so if I have this right, The Godfather was the first film franchise to be nominated.
Factoid coming up, by the way.
To be nominated for best adapted screenplay for the original and its sequel, and the second franchise in history for the same thing to happen to.
What I like about this is this will be in someone's pub quiz this weekend. So just
will be.
You know, put that in the
it
back
will
pocket.
Be. Wow. Better be right, eh? Unfortunately, no Best Original Song nomination for Borat's subsequent movie film. There's a lot of talk that Wuhan Flu was going to be an Oscar-nominated song, which would have lent itself to quite a good couple of minutes of entertainment during the actual awards themselves. Of the things that got snubbed, there's only one nomination for Spike Lee's Da Five Bloods, which is outstanding, and you can watch that on Netflix. It's nominated for Best Original Score, but nothing about the fantastic writing or performances that are in the film.
I did like bizarre. It. I found it a little bit frustrating, just that the characters were a little bit frustrating. But I did enjoy the movie.
Yeah. And I think it's got that great central
original story. You know,
really great story, great device of in flashback just having the same actors play themselves.
Mm.
So let's not try and cast younger versions. Yep. Let's just roll with it. Spike Lee is certainly no less energetic as a director in that film than films early in his career. He's having a lot of fun. But yes, it's really strange not to see. Maybe the feeling is like, oh, he had his turn with Black Klansman, so he can just hang out for another three or four movies, like another 2 years. One Night in Miami, which was Regina King's directorial debut, which is available to watch on Prime Video, didn't really feature much as well. Of films that were nowhere to be seen, First Cow is excellent and just nowhere to be seen at all, and Never Really Sometimes Always, which
have you talked about First Cow or One Night in Miami?
No, I don't think we have actually.
Okay.
Why are you saying, John, is there a bit of a correlation there?
We have no idea. Yeah. Just
rattling off movies.
You never know who's listening.
Shall I just say some movies? Star Wars.
Bring it back.
Not
Jaws. Brain dead. Anyway, that's the Oscars. There's plenty to dive into. You can check out the full nominations list all over the bloody internet. But yeah, I think there's not really too much. These are establishment films holding better things out of the categories, so it is a fairly good guide to just tick some stuff off that you haven't got around to watching. And as we've covered, a bunch of them are on Netflix, Prime, and in cinemas, so
enjoy.
You can bloody watch them. Yeah. And I'm going to go off and get some sleep now because tomorrow night I'm going to watch Zack Snyder's Justice League, which turns up on Neon and on Sky Movies. It's on Sky Movies at 8:30 p.m., which means if you're watching it there, the movie will finish at 12:35. It's 4 hours and 5 minutes of superheroes.
Whoa.
I think it's going to be a bit of a slog. But I'm intrigued, despite my better judgment. And I think I've talked myself into watching this because even though I'm not a massive Zack Snyder fan or think that the movie's going to be very good, just the idea of someone getting their film back after it was taken out of their hands and someone else edited it, shot some stuff and released it and actually getting to do what they wanted to do, I probably should support that idea. I mean, if it was a director I actually liked, I'd be ecstatic. And that's my cool story.
Catbite.
See you next week.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.